Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. You'll recall, well, some of you who are regular listeners, and we appreciate all the regular listeners, you'll recall that yesterday I came on this show, and I opened it by saying, I just don't think there's going to be snow. I think my theory was, I said, it's going to be too warm, and it won't be snow. Listen, you can come to this show for a lot of things. Weather predictions, I'd cross that, put that one pretty low on the list. Because, my God, there is snow. There is a lot of snow. Today on the radio show, Jason Smith, I'm just going to go ahead and we're going to have him by Zoom. Jason's supposed to be in the next segment. We'll see how that goes. Chris Harrington, he's not scared of no snow, but he's in the Twin Cities. He'll join us straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies and their unfortunate performance last night against the Houston Rockets. And then who knows what else. We'll probably talk to you. We'll also talk about the football game last night and a magnificent football game.
Do we have to?
It was. Oh, you had a wager on that event. If it's any small comfort, it looked like in many stretches Penn State was the better team.
Yeah. No, that's what James Franklin teams do.
If that is any comfort to you in this difficult time.
No, the only
time,
comfort to me was that it's that Penn State and James Franklin are
Penn
destined
State
to do it forever.
Was, in fact, probably the better team.
Mm-hmm.
But that could make it more painful. Could have the opposite impact. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. We also have what's the official title of the weekend?
Jeff, how dare you?
I know. Go ahead.
Super
wild card weekend we have to talk about
I'm reporting you to the commissioner.
So we have a busy show today. Probably be fined by the commissioner. Fine coming down during the course of the show. But there is snow. And I'm here to report that, I was wrong. By the time I left the Grizzlies game after filing, I'll be honest, pretty mediocre column last night. You can read it over the Daily Memphian. It didn't have the desired, doesn't have the ending that you wanted to have. Last night didn't have the ending that you wanted it to have.
Oh, it did?
No, it didn't have the ending you wanted to have. But
they hit a three with like 3 seconds left to tie it up.
Two, actually. They hit two threes to tie it up. We'll get to that. But by the time I left FedEx Forum last night, it was pretty. That's what I said to Drew Hill as we were walking out. I said, this is pretty.
And quaint.
Then I had to make a decision. Do you drive on the, this was 11, this is 12, it was after midnight. Do you have to drive on the surface roads or do you drive on 240? What's the call there? I got on 240.
Yeah, I would go interstate there.
But very little snow at that hour last night. And then you wake up tonight and it is deep snow. It is, I'm here to report, and if you want to look and see how the roads are over on Twitter, I think I did it on Facebook. I don't remember. There's so damn many outlets now. I may put it up on Insta too. I've put up a Twitter.
You definitely had it
first
off, you had it on X.
X, it's going to be fine there too. I have my report from the 2006 minivan as I am driving down the road, and I think it accurately represents what you would be dealing with if you, in the comfort of your own home, choose to get out there. And my assessment is, and again, I try not to be the, you guys are soft.
No, in fact, I would actually argue you've adopted like you've adopted being Southern soft.
I honestly think that it's, well, certainly in terms of cold I have, but in terms of driving through snow, I'm a little more reckless than some, a little more confident, smug, whatever else than some. But I think it's fine. Like, there's no ice, at least right now.
Today's not going to be the day.
It will become a problem.
Yes, tomorrow.
If we get a freeze.
Yeah, 100%. It's the first day
is
never the problem.
Then a freeze.
Correct.
Now, this is a very different snow event, winter event, from the winter event that was basically the same time last year. Because that, well, first of all, it was not fun. Because it was cold
Agreed.
As hell.
100%.
It was bitter.
It was like zero.
So here's what would happen. You'd head out from with your sled that you bought at Ace or your piece of plastic that you happen to have or your pizza box or whatever
like
it is.
Like a top of your garbage can.
Yeah, a top of your garbage can. You'd head out to, hey, I'm going to go, this is going to be fun. We're going to find the nearest hill and we're going to go sledding. And you'd be outside for roughly 6.2 seconds and you'd turn around and say, hey, we're going back inside. This is freaking miserable. Because literally within 4 seconds, your face started to hurt.
Yes.
It was bitter, bitter cold.
It's the type of cold that, like, right when you walk outside, you're like, I'm going to die.
Now, the snow itself, if you did, for some reason, didn't care about having feeling in your extremities, was good for sledding because it was icy.
Yes,
you'd get
slick,
slick. You'd get whipping along there. Now, this snow, very different snow.
Snowman snow. Snow people snow.
No, we do not endorse snow people here. We've discussed whether we're going...
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't realize that you weren't progressive enough.
I am not progressive on the on this subject matter. I am firmly in the snowman camp, and it is spectacular snowman.
Like, you can even... Like, they
practically make themselves.
I actually walked out because, you know, I hate this. Like, I'm miserable.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. But you had a problem that you didn't realize. We'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, you walked out and what you discovered?
I was like, this is like... Peak snowball fight snow.
Snow
like, oh my God. Like, I was like sitting there, it packed so easily.
It's honestly a little wet. It's a little wet.
That makes it, perfect for packing.
Yes, it's unbelievable snow fight weather, and it's snowball weather, and it's unbelievable snowman weather. The sledding weather won't be great because it'll be kind of sticky.
Yep.
And you'll be sloshing around and you'll be wet within 30 seconds.
Yep.
Maybe it'll be okay from that perspective, but it's to be desired. Anyway, it is, but it's great snowman weather. It is great snowball fight weather. What was the problem you encountered this morning?
So this morning I came across two issues. Number one, so I remote started my car, and I was ready to go. My car was heated up.
Fancy.
I was ready to go.
Uh-huh.
First off, remote start was like 2004. Like we're now past the point of saying like, oh, if you have a remote start
was 2004.
Oh,
maybe in an XL, but it wasn't in a whatever. But go ahead. Okay, and remote start.
So I remote start my car. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Fired up. I went to hit my windshield wipers to knock off the snow. They did not work. They weren't frozen. It was just they could not
too
move.
Heavy. They could not move that snow.
And then. I went to hit, I was like, okay, well, I did what you taught me to do, which is go take your right arm and just knock the snow off right in front of your windshield wiper for the driver's side, as you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Then I went to hit my gate. I went to hit my gate open, and I realized like it went like 3 inches and just completely stopped.
The gate was stalled by the snow.
Correct. Shovel
out the gate?
Correct. So then I went and got like one of those wide brooms that you'd use to like sweep up like a garage, and I had to sweep up the snow. Well, here we are.
We are both here.
0% chance.
And let's be honest, there's 0% chance that Jason or John are going to be here, and that's fine. Like whatever. Here's the truth. I sometimes do the show now on Zoom from Michigan, and you can't tell. So who am I to criticize people who don't come in the office? So whatever. We'll you get through the day. However, you need to get through the day. I do have a whole new system for cleaning off my car.
All right, let's hear it.
Claire got out there and cleaned off my car. She knows that I don't clean off my car. Look at X. Go to look at X or your social media. You'll see my system. I have a 6-foot wife who went out there and cleaned off my car for me. How about that? I don't think you can get one of those at Lowe's. You know what I mean? I don't think you can get this attachment at Lowe's, but there you go. So I actually drove. Or Home Depot. So I drove here in a relatively cleaned off car. Before we get to sports, because we like to be of service to people, It doesn't feel like this kind of weather where we need crisis reports from hither and yon, but some of you are out and may have observed things in the nature of what's open. Have you had a good cup of coffee and a sausage biscuit this morning? Have you encountered...
Have you seen anything open other than obviously our studio?
Have you encountered peril on the roads? What is your... Are you working right now? What is your experience in this particular snow event? We may get no calls on this, but we do count on you as our... as our men and women and snow people out in the field to tell us what you have observed. So the phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. What is open? What is closed? Where's the wreck? Are you working? What are we dealing with out there today? I consider it at least part of our duty. Plus, honestly, it's fun to hear from the folks. What is your experience out there in this Snowmageddon 2025? The phone number again, 445-0929, 445-0929. Please feel free to report in from any precincts. As you made your way in, Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we have calls now. You people are great. We're reporting in immediately. Go ahead. I was going to ask what you observed, but we're getting some early reports. And so this is our service mission, our community service mission. Phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. What have you observed out there in 2025? We'll get to the Grizzlies game. No hurry to get to that, I'll be honest. And we'll get to the national championship game here momentarily. Jeffrey is fielding calls, shoveling his way through the calls, and he will tell me who we have here in a moment. Again, if you want to see my snow report, you can go to Twitter, X, wherever else. I did some first person reporting from the streets in the trusty minivan. Phone number 445-0929, 445-0929. I'm looking over to Jeffrey to get the heads up that we're going to have some folks online. Who are we dealing with, Jeffrey? Here, who do we got?
Jeff, let's start with Martha. She is off of Brooks Road. We'll start with Martha.
Hello, Martha.
Hi, Jeff.
How is it out there?
The roads are okay if you have the type of vehicle that you need to be out in it. I came from Central Avenue to Brooks Road to work early this morning.
What do you do?
I am actually a nurse. Get the privy to...
You don't get to stay home. You don't get to stay home. Yeah. And are you a nurse in a hospital or a nurse in a doctor's office?
No, I'm a nurse for manufacturing.
I see. So you had to be there. And it wasn't terrible, but you wouldn't recommend that people get out and about.
Exactly. If you can work at home, stay at home.
Thank you, Martha. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929. There's a lot of people who cannot do their work virtually. Nurses... I guess you can sort of talk to people about
radio professionals.
Yeah, certainly radio professionals have to be there. 445.
Not heroes, obviously.
0929. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's go to Jeremy in Wolf Chase. Jeremy, you're on.
Jeremy, how are you?
Pretty good.
What's it like out there?
It's not too bad. I think they did a good job salting the roads, and the plows have been out here. I can't really speak for side roads.
So why are you out and about?
I'm a truck driver.
A local truck driver or a long-haul truck driver?
I long-haul. I run to Nashville and back.
I see. Is this slippery stuff out there? How big's your truck?
It's a regular 18-wheeler, 53-foot trailer.
God. So do you hate this stuff?
No, I don't hate it. I mean, it increases the stress level a little bit. You just kind of have to. The more times you do it, the more experience you get.
I get
you know
it.
how to be safe.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it. Stay safe. So there you go. There's our first person reports from the road. 445-0929, 445-0929. If anyone has anything else urgent they would like to say, on to the world of sports, Jeffrey. And while the snow was starting to fall last night, we had let's just start with the more fun story, shall we?
Let's do indeed, Jeff. You ready?
Yeah, we got the ending of the semifinal.
I also have another point to make.
Okay,
41 yard attempts, snap and hold are good. The kick is good. Notre Dame has won the Orange Bowl, and Marcus Freeman is taking them to the championship game.
The point that I would like to make is,
yes,
I understand differences of opinion. I normally default to you are right, I am wrong. And that's not a professional opinion. That's because I view you as wise.
Uh-huh.
I do not understand
uh-huh.
how you truly believe
it is the best.
Hail to the victors is better than the Notre Dame March. Because that song, when you rip into it, that's the perfect thing. The other great thing about the Notre Dame March is they can play it at the different tempos. Like, it's very different
It sounds great there. Play it again, Jeffrey. Let's hear it again there. And I'll reconsider this statement of mine, but go ahead.
Taking them to the championship game.
Because it's sped up. They can play it at the different tempo. Like, if you compare it to...
Well, yeah, but I don't understand why that's a trick of that particular song. You can't play any song at different tempo?
Oftentimes when you speed stuff up, it doesn't sound as good, unless it's punk rock.
Notre Dame wins 27-24. Both Jeffrey and I said yesterday that we thought, in a basic coin flip game...
Yeah, I will say the game did play out exactly like we thought. Like, these are two even teams.
I said slight edge to Penn State. You said slight edge to Penn State. And the truth of the matter is that for the longest time, it felt like Penn State was the better team. And if you didn't have that third down bad pass drop by Singleton, they would have been up 14-0, right?
So this is the other thing I'm having to deal with. Every time Drew Aller was throwing a good pass, I was getting so many people just bombarding me like, looks like the next Giants quarterback. Looks like the next Giants quarterback. That was not a good throw.
No, it was not a good throw. It was also a drop.
Exactly.
It was not a good throw, but it was a drop. Like, it was
100%.
And that should have been 14-0. Instead, it's 10-0.
Yep.
And then Notre Dame does what Notre Dame has done, what Notre Dame did against Georgia, which was win the end of the first half, beginning of the second half.
Jeff, they call it the middle eight.
They call it this. When did they start?
I thought you started calling it the middle eight.
No, I did not. I disavow the middle eight in the same way that I disavow snow people. When did we start calling those minutes the middle eight?
I'm not saying that this is the genesis. I'm telling you my experience with it. Dabo was a big win the middle eight. So when Clemson was at the peak of its powers, it was win the middle eight.
Middle eight.
That was never a thing from my entire football playing career. I'd never heard.
Well, they won the middle eight in the quarterfinals, and they certainly won the middle eight last night.
I think you could make the argument in the quarterfinals they won the middle two.
They won the middle two last night, getting the field goal at the end of the first half, and then marching down and getting the touchdown at the beginning of the second half. But of course, in a very evenly played game, each of these teams averaged 5.2 yards per play.
Yep.
Identical. 5.2 yards per play. There were some differences. Notre Dame had more yards. Notre Dame, many more tackles for loss and sacks. Like that inflicted. Notre Dame inflicted depending on how you look at that. Notre Dame inflicted more sacks and tackles for loss. Isn't that the other way around?
Yeah.
It was the other way.
Penn State had the way you would look at the game is offensively and defensively, Penn State was boom or bust.
It was in the end that turnover.
Yep.
I mean, in the end, it was that turnover.
And not the other Notre Dame turnovers.
Well, that's the other thing. It was, let's be honest, Penn State's touchdown to go ahead, set up by a tremendous pick, right? Like, so they had their own tremendous rush.
I wouldn't say necessarily.
Tremendous call. Tremendous defensive call, honestly, is what it was. It was an easy pick in the end. Yes. But there you go. Aller throws that pick. Horrible double clutch. We'll never hear the end of it.
Don't forget throwing back across the field.
Across
his body.
Just a disastrous, disastrous by the future Giants quarterback. Disastrous.
No. He needs to season.
He needs to come back and redeem himself?
Yes. No, he needs to season himself.
And so there you go. That's what it came down to, that pick. I honestly, it's funny. There's not normally one. I feel bad for kickers when they miss a field goal they're supposed to make and the weight of the world is on their shoulders. That's just such a horrible
including
pick.
Scott Norwood?
Even Scott Norwood, yes. Even Scott Norwood.
Do you ever think...
Drew Aller, I feel... I mean, that's just a horrible... It's a brain fart of a pick. How do you... What in the world?
Yeah, I guess where I come down is I do feel bad when people are trying. He made a dumb decision, and he paid the price.
Right.
Now, I think it's also important to note, like, Riley Leonard made a couple of dumb decisions.
Oh, he did, too.
And it he just, did
at different. It was at a different time in the game, and so they don't stand out, and they won.
I think what I really liked about this game is I think we have swung way too far on the officials and the calls and whatnot. Notre Dame, in my opinion, it technically was pass interference on Tyler Warren, but Drew Aller threw into triple coverage. That was a tough call. Notre Dame person, I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? Those guys did not let that bother them.
No, that was a good call. It was the right call. It was a tough call.
It's the classic, he threw into triple coverage. You shouldn't get that call, but it was pass interference.
It was 100%
pass interference.
He made contact.
Tyler Warren has the right to come back to the ball. You interfered with him. That is a brutal call. You even saw Marcus Freeman on the sideline, are you kidding me? But his team did not let it impact. Just keep going. Keep playing. There's going to be other opportunities. I just think we...
Well, I mean, and that's, of course, the macro story about Notre Dame.
Yes. Right?
You lose to Northern Illinois.
Keep going.
Keep going. Keep playing. The world is not over. We F up.
Yes.
People make mistakes. I mean, in the end, I mean, it's a cliche. It's campy, whatever else. But that is what Notre Dame did. Notre Dame was the butt of jokes.
Yes.
After that
They're still... I believe this is true. No one has lost as a bigger favorite this season than Notre Dame.
And there they are in the national championship game. And let's be honest, poor Penn State, man. That's just, it's there. It's there. In the end, the win over Boise, the win over SMU, they're not going to carry James Franklin past the accusation that he cannot win the big one.
So I think you would agree with me, but I'll pose it to you.
It's tough to be.
So before we knew the result of the game, because that was a fantastic football game, I was talking with Cobb yesterday. If you would say that one of the two teams was going to lose in a tough fashion, so what we saw last night, but let's forget who won, who lost. But
you would have said Penn State?
I would have said for Penn State it was going to be more brutal because you're in this relationship with James Franklin.
Yeah, much more brutal.
In which...
You don't even really like James Franklin anymore.
No one does.
No one does.
And by the way, James Franklin doesn't
like you. If this had happened to Notre Dame, they would still like their coach today.
Because I think you hit the nail on the head yesterday when you're like, you know what? In the end, for Notre Dame, they came into this season not really knowing how to feel about Marcus Freeman. They liked him.
Sure he had it.
Correct. But now you've seen, all right, this guy can get us exactly.
And you would have felt good about him even if they'd lost last night.
Yes, because he got you to the Final Four. You would have.
It's also where you are and how many years into the relationship too, though. You know, and here's the other problem with the James Franklin thing. As you have pointed out many a time, all those stats that you can run about James Franklin not winning the big one
are Michigan. And
most
Ohio State
of those, he in fact had the inferior team.
Yes.
If you just lined up talent versus talent, there was a reason he was the underdog, and there was, in fact, a reason that he lost the game that really had nothing to do with James Franklin. The other team had better players.
Yes.
Last night, that was not the case.
No.
You had at least as good players, and you may have had better players.
I think if you're taking away fanship and you were just watching the game, this is how I felt. Penn State looked like the physically better
more
team.
More electric, physically talented team.
Correct.
And Notre Dame is banged up, and then they lose their left tackle in the midst of it.
They lost two offensive linemen.
I mean, that's the thing. You just, now they're dragging. Listen, I do think having Notre Dame in the national championship game is much more appealing, if only because if you get Ohio State.
Fight song?
If only because, A, the second best fight song in the land, and B, if you get Ohio State, you don't want this Big Ten championship. So we've avoided that. And Notre Dame has its own cachet, appeal, everything else, to a greater extent than Penn State. But in the end, you are getting a super banged up Notre Dame. Limited, banged up Notre Dame
team. They are the definition of limping in.
They better hope for Texas, man.
Yes. And so Tim Murray, who does Tuesday and Friday, by the way, he was there last night. He's going to be, he texted me this morning. He said he slept 70 minutes, but he's ready to go at 2 o'clock. So he'll be with me at 2. He was there and he was even like, I am just praying that Texas wins.
What do we think the lines would be at this point if it's Texas, and what will the lines be if it's Ohio State?
So FanDuel has given out early lines. If it's Ohio State, it's going to be Ohio State will be favored by 7, I believe, maybe 7.5. And if it's Texas,
and you're laying that as fast as you can.
Oh, cannot race the window. By the way, I'm also taking some points tonight.
Uh-huh.
Daddy's got to get back.
All right, and
if it's Texas, it will be Texas minus 2.5, I think, is what I saw.
Yeah,
and now granted,
I hate to say it,
I'll say this: those lines were before the injuries last night.
Hey, hook 'em horns, baby, hook 'em horns.
Okay, cool.
I'm all in on Texas tonight, from an emotional
SEC.
SEC just means more. SEC. And how about that playoff? Seemed to be working out okay, doesn't it?
Last night was awesome.
Last night was absolutely electric. I made the wrong choice.
No, you didn't. You put your money where your mouth is.
I went to the Grizzlies game, partly because I haven't written a Grizzlies game in a while. But here's the truth. As a sports columnist, when you go to these events, you never know what you're going to get, right?
I believe you're the first person to say that.
And
is it like a box of chocolates?
And it's like, and the hope, I know people think that we're a miserable lot, but the hope is that the team you are covering wins in triumphant fashion. Why? Because people will then read the story, and you get to recapture the story in your piece and relive it and revel in it. And the quotes will be merry and crackling
and bright.
And it'll be a scene, and it'll be great fun, and you get to write about that. And then you go sometimes to a game and you see your team give up 45 freaking points in the first quarter and lose again to a good team in the West.
You're just going to lose those 20 turnovers?
The head coach who... It's weird. I had 20 turnovers, and yet then the official box score that they handed out after the game said 19. I guess there's so many.
They corrected
it. Who can
it.
Keep count? They did correct it. It's 20. So, and then you have the head coach who comes in and throws himself on the sword after the game. It was kind of an unpleasant affair, I'll be honest. I mean, whatever. It did become competitive at the end, and there was plenty of intrigue in all of it. And we'll talk to Jason Smith about it and to Chris Harrington about it in a little bit. But Taylor Jenkins, he normally, you ask him a question and you get a 10,000-word answer.
Well, right? Thank you, Jeff.
And instead, he comes in and he just, what was the problem with the game? Calling timeout. He answered in 2 words, 3 words, 4 words, maybe every single, like he was pissed off.
He can be word salad-y.
He was pissed off. Here he was. He was pissed off. And basically, he threw himself on the sword for, I think correct to throw himself on the sword. Grizzlies have a chance with 3 seconds left, basically, to tie the game with a 3. And what does he do? He calls timeout. Now, in fairness, Dez hadn't really even started his shooting motion, barely. So Dez then sinks the 3 that would have tied the game. Who knows what would happen then? Who knows if he hadn't, if Dez would have still hit the three? Like, it's an alternate. It's an alternate.
Clearly,
universe.
They'd stop playing defense.
Yes, it's an alternate. So it's a very different. We don't know what would have happened, but he threw himself on the sword for doing it. And in the end, it is a stupid thing. It's a stupid timeout to call because here's the truth. They then get to think about it and they say, you know what we're going to do?
Foul.
We're going to foul. So as soon as they inbounded the next after the timeout, they fouled Dez. He immediately then hit another three after the foul. And then you're left to the point where you got to go to the free throw line, hit the first, try to miss the second.
I thought it was a pretty good effort at the low the line miss. Drive. Yeah, like
and they called him for a lane violation. That was that. And Grizzlies lose. I thought Taylor Jenkins handled that well. I think it, and then you went into the locker room and all the players say that exactly what you'd think they'd say if they like their coach, which is it's not on him. There are a million different ways we could have won that game. It's a bang bang play, whatever else. I think it was clearly a mistake, and I think Taylor Jenkins said it was a mistake. But I think one of the reasons he's as popular as he is in the locker room is when he makes mistakes, he stands up and says it. So good for him. I don't really, though, put much stock in that one way or another. In other words, I don't think, very clearly, if that were a playoff game, right, then we'd be talking about that decision for a long time, right? If that was a playoff
for
game,
sure.
We'd be talking. But I don't think that is likely to be an issue going forward. And so then you get to what is the issue going forward, which is they were bullied by Houston in the second game of the season, losing by 20. And they came out last night with Ja, with Jaren, with Dez, vowing not to be bullied again. Before the game, Taylor Jenkins says, you got to come out with the right edge. And they come out, and they are bullied again. And they give up 45 points in the first quarter, and they just have no clue at how to handle Sengun. He did anything he wanted. He is a freaking oak tree, and just toying with Zach Edey, drawing fouls. Yep. Like Brandon Clark can't stop him. Jaren can't stop him. It was Zach Edey didn't have a prayer against stopping him. And so then if they doubled him, then Sengun was finding guys for threes. Like they had, honestly, it made you feel queasy about the center rotation. That game made you feel queasy about the center rotation. And Zach Edey's going to have to, like that. That game, the Dallas game, I mean, he's been unplayable in spots lately.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess where I take a little bit of solace is, at least with Zach Edey, I feel like he can get better.
Oh, he can. There's no question. By the end of the year, he could be better. By the end of the
and
year,
this is
he
where,
has gotten better. And
like, I actually thought last night was fun because one of the things that we've been talking about is, what does this team look like when they go up against a good team? And I know Houston.
Well, that's the problem.
Like I know Houston has exceeded expectations this year, but I think it's very fair to say at this point that's a good team.
That is a good team.
I don't know if they're
super athletic.
I don't know if they're the Western Conference champion, but I do know this: they're going to have something to say about it.
Grizzlies committed 20 turnovers, leading to 31 points. 20 turnovers leading to 31 points. They committed 28 fouls, and here we are. The stats about how they are against the best teams. They are 6-11 against the top 11 teams in the West.
Yep.
They're 0-1 against Oklahoma City. They're 1-2 against the Lakers and the Warriors. They're 0-2 against the Rockets. And if you only count the games in which those opponents had the best players available, so you don't get to count the game you beat Dallas without Luka, you don't get to count the time you beat Denver without Jokic.
Well, and then they lost them.
And then they lost them, whatever. But if you count those, then they're 3-9.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it means they stink or they're just a fraud or anything like that. There haven't been enough games. And by the way, there's more reinforcements on the way, including some players who would be useful in games like last night. Don't you think a fully back-to-action, engaged Vince Williams Jr. would help in a game like last night's?
Yes, I do.
I even think, whatever you think of Marcus Smart, he's built to play in games like last night.
You know who was really bad last night? Jalen Wells.
Oh, Jalen Wells was off. Well, the truth of the matter is the rookies were awful last night.
And like that's by the way, I'm not I'm not putting the loss on them, but it would have been nice to have experience that you can sit there. You don't have to ask them to do that.
Reinforcements are on the way. Reinforcements are on the way for Oklahoma City, too. You know, reinforcements are on the way for, like, Houston wasn't, you know, wasn't 100% either. Jamari Smith didn't play last night. Easton didn't play last night. They're missing players, too. The Grizzlies do have reinforcements on the way, but we talked about one of the big questions about this team is they have feasted on the East. They have feasted on bad teams. What are they going to look like when they go up against other elite teams? And last night, honestly, the only reason they were in it, I still don't exactly know how they were in it, because when you give up 31 points off 20 turnovers, but and you commit 28 fouls and whatever, they got some bad calls, sure, but the truth of the matter is they couldn't stop Sengun, so they were just hacking him. Like,
I did not feel like officiating was the reason they lost last night.
No, I didn't either. So they seemed physically overmatched, honestly, is what they were in it. God bless Dylan Brooks, man.
Yeah.
Like, God bless Dylan Brooks. Like,
he did start the game off with a bang, literally.
He gets the immediate technical for hanging on the rim. And
Dez had the perfect reaction.
And he goes a beautiful 2 of 15 from the field. 1 of 8 from 3. So,
but hey, you know what? He kept shooting.
And then the Rockets couldn't hit a foul shot.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was a huge
The
part
Rockets,
of it.
Like, at the end, they could not, Sengun couldn't, Steven Adams couldn't, like, they could not hit a foul shot. And that's why the Grizzlies were able to claw back in it. But that's not, here's the problem. You're like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to match up with Houston in the playoffs. And they're like, well, I don't necessarily want to match up with Anthony Davis in the playoffs. And you're like, well, I don't want to, like, in the end, you're going to match up with good teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the problem is, what do those two teams have in common?
Oh, bigs. Bigs who will...
And physical.
And in the end, the Grizzlies bet on Zach Edey's the answer. That's what they said. We no longer have Steven Adams. Well, who's the answer here? Zach Edey and then some rotation of whatever, Brandon and Jaren, whatever else. And last night, Zach Edey was not the answer. That's for sure.
There's no question he wasn't the answer.
He still could be.
Here's the... So you mentioned earlier this week the idea of is Ja Tua. And I think that's an apt metaphor because I know we don't want to sit there and go, are the Grizzlies frauds? And like, I'm not...
Frauds is way too strong.
Okay, but here's where I do think the metaphor continues. I think they're really good at beating bad teams.
I see. The Dolphins, same thing.
Yes.
Those Dolphins, same thing. They play fast. They whatever else.
When they go up against an average or below average team, the Dolphins look awesome.
Right.
But when they go up against a team that punches you in the mouth, guess what happens to them?
We haven't seen enough of this team, but that is the worry. The worry is not that Taylor Jenkins, at least to me, the worry is not Taylor Jenkins is going to call a timeout in the wrong moment. Odd thing is that there was also if you want to go back, we're playing the hits here. Ja and Jaren were sitting basically from the 7-minute mark to the 3-minute mark.
Honestly, if you want to talk about the coaching decisions, I was like, what is he doing?
I wondered part of it is that, weirdly enough, he was saving a he might have put him in earlier. I think he was saving a timeout there because he only had one timeout.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, better he should have spent it there to get his stars back in.
Well, you also
so he wouldn't have had it later. No, I understood why he did it. But and then later when he was asked about that, he said players coming back from injury, et cetera. So anyway, we'll revisit this with Chris Harrington. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Jason Smith. We hope you are warm and toasty and wherever you are on this beautiful day. Let's call it what it is. Beautiful day here in Memphis, Tennessee. 92.9 FM ESPN. Continue to get reports from the field. Someone's headed downtown versus via Union Avenue. Midtown Kroger is open. The 7 Brew. Do you know where this is, Jeffrey? So the 7 Brew drive-through coffee is open. Are you familiar with the 7 Brew?
So, no, because I'm sitting there thinking about Union. Is that... No, I don't.
One of our listeners.
I know Scooters is right there. Well, that's Poplar. Never
just mind. Scoot around.
Yeah.
Anyway, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. And I have it on good information that you, in fact, are headed in. Jason, is this true?
I'm going to do it. I'm the proud owner of a Jeep Cherokee now. On my second engine.
Jason, that's a Grand Cherokee. Come on.
It's a Grand Cherokee.
Yeah. Grand Cherokee. I've got a snow setting. Now I'm on my second engine, and as it all, it hasn't been all roses for in terms of this buy. But the one thing that, unlike when I was in the very weak Ford Escape, you know, the two-wheel drive, I can get out of my driveway. I can drive on this stuff in the Jeep Cherokee. So I'm gonna come on in like a man, like you two did.
It's got
like
a snow
Brad did.
Setting. You get to literally hit a button that says snow.
Yeah, it's like a little. It's a little roller. You just roll it over to the snow side, and hopefully I'm gonna be. Hopefully I'm not gonna be sliding in like Penny was sliding into South Florida last year.
But you had to. You literally have replaced the engine on this sucker.
Yeah, I don't. It's a long story, but we did. I thankfully had the warranty, but it had to wait, man. You shouldn't have to replace an engine that only had 15,000 miles.
Oh my God!
Nightmare. And most Jeffrey knows this. He's a car man. Most Jeep motors known sometimes go 200,000-300,000 miles, man. So to already be out that motor.
It's funny because when you got that car, I had two friends in college that had similar models. They had the exact same problems you did.
2020 I got, and I bought it at the worst time in American history to buy a car, which was 2022. And so I paid top dollar for it. It's not worth anything at this point, but it's going to get me through the snow day. I'm going to come through like a tank. I'll see y'all a little later today.
We do have, weirdly enough, we got this snow day, and it feels like there's more sports to talk about than since Monday.
Indeed.
So let's start with the Grizzlies last night. How worrisome do you find some of the trends? Inability to handle big people, inability to handle some of the best in the West. Is it worrisome at this point, or is it still early? Are the teams still coming together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
There is a trend that I'm most worried about. And Jeff, I think you hit some key points with what they've done, or really a lack thereof, against some of the better teams in the league. You're now 0-2 against Houston in your column. But I think the trend that I'm most concerned about, or that most worries me, is that Taylor Jenkins, again, and I know all of the focus was on the timeout call. Guys, we see that stuff all the time. And again, what you can point to a lot of reasons why the Grizzlies won this game. Part of it's the edge that wasn't there, Jeff. After you talked about having one, after they punched you in the mouth in the second game by 20, you did it before this game. It wasn't there. You can talk about the turnovers, 31 points. I mean, like you said, I mean, I thought you hit a bunch of key points. But for me, the key trend is that even in big games you feel like you've got to win. And I know we can write some of it off that Ja's just getting back and Jaren was questionable last night. But Ja's also got a tattoo on his arm that says train to go. Like, and the fact that you're down five with 6 minutes left, Houston's starters are in. You know, Houston's young gun, Jalen Green, is playing 38 minutes. And so but Taylor, to that point, sticks to the trend. You don't put them back in until 3:29. And listen, he talked about it. DeMichael asked him, I think it was the last question of that real, you know, short, you know, presser
it was
that Taylor
terse.
Gave after.
It was certainly
no
terse,
question about
yes.
it. And much of it was Taylor. Let me phrase this carefully. I just thought it was very easy to pin everything on the timeout that you called. But most of the issue of that game was your guys didn't answer the bell after you'd asked them to, or basically commanded them to. I mean, you challenged them. You did it after Houston. You did it again before this game. They didn't answer the bell. But more so, is this a front office thing? Is this you? Because, again, we said maybe you can find, you know, sort of like I was talking about with Jeffrey yesterday, sort of trying to find that, you know, thread that needle and find a balance. At least with we get it. You know, you're trying to keep your young guys healthy. We understand it's a philosophy. But at least in these big ones, guys, you're about to go down 0-2 to Houston. You're going to lose the one at home. Okay, you've lost both places now. And if you go down there and lose Monday, you're 0-3. So this is when you need to make a statement against Houston. And you're not putting John Jaren back. Your stars, theirs are already out there. You're not putting them back in until 3 minutes left. That's the one for me that I just keep. You know, Luke Kennard was a spark. But at the end, you kept him in too long because Fred VanVleet is hunting him. As much as Luke Kennard is, you know, and he missed a couple wide opens, you know, they're late, it cost you. I'm not blaming him for that necessarily because he'd hit some shots for you. But my point is, on the defensive end, and Harrington talks about this all the time,
the other team is hunting him, and Van Fleet hit the key one on Kennard there. And again, I'm not pinning it on. I'm just talking about where are the stars there at the end of that game. I'd have more questions about that than the timeout.
The timeout.
It's an easy out.
It's nothing worrisome. It's nothing worrisome.
No, exactly.
It's going to be repeated again.
At all. But the way he used that is sort of for the whole 130 is, I blew it with that. And you're right, Jeff. It is a falling of the sword. Taylor Jenkins is holding up his hand saying, this one's on me. And that's what you want of your coaches, right? That's what, at least what fans and media say they want from their coaches. However, I think the elephant in the room was, you know, you're putting it on injuries and trying to find a spark. How about trying to find a spark from the guys that are on max contracts earlier in that last six, you know, 5 minutes? You waited till 3 minutes left. It was too late.
In fairness to Taylor, I don't think he was using that as a shield. I think he really believes that he cost his team. I don't think he was, this is my way to avoid having to grapple with. I can see that it's fair to say
that
his emphasis was on the wrong thing. I can absolutely see that. I don't think he was using it as a way of getting out of.
I phrase it carefully. I mean, again, I'm not suggesting he's trying to mislead everyone. Our eyeballs were on it, and DeMichael asked him about it, and there was an answer to it. However, I just thought most of the focus was on the wrong thing in terms of the end of that game. And Jeff, again, turnovers a key reason why you lost that game. But more so than anything, they just came out and punked you.
They punked
for the second straight game.
100%
so again, that goes back to, are they hearing your voices? It's still, you know, and again, this is not the day to judge Taylor Jenkins and the job he's doing overall. But you're talking about a game that you needed to win, because right now Houston's got the upper edge on you just in terms of mindset. Dude, we got these guys. You know, we can push them around. And that's what was happening for most of that game. Jeff, the reason when you were able to get back in the game is because the way Houston was opening the door
shot
for you at the free throw line. Good Lord.
It was a miracle you were in that game. It was a miracle you were in that game.
Was.
You got punked at the beginning. And
the concern. Right.
Although is that, that may concerned. Be less, is that Taylor Jenkins' voice? I think that's more, honestly, roster construction. This is not the Marc Gasol Z-Bo Grizzlies who can stand up to anybody and not bluff. That's not
no
how they're
question.
Wired.
I don't want to come off as laying this all at the feet of Taylor Jenkins whatsoever. You've got your three guys out there. I mean, come on, this is supposed to be, you know, and you're at home, where you have 15 wins this season, and they punked you. Taylor pretty much said that after you lose to him by 20 second game of the season, but first time you played him. You didn't have Jared in that one. This time you got your guns, and you go out there and fall behind like that. So as much or more, certainly, responsibility for that loss last night has to go on the players. But again, I'm giving Ja and Jaren a chance to win that thing after I've, you know, kept myself, found a way to claw myself back at that. I'm getting them in a little bit earlier. The key is they continue to stay with this plan, this organizational plan or whatever it is that, you know, that they're not going to play those guys necessarily when we think they should or when every other team in the league is, Jeff.
Right. We did have a dandy of a national semifinal last night. And
oh, wow.
Felt like the good guys won, yeah?
You know, I mean, I good guys in the sense that I saw Riley Leonard, and listen, he wasn't the running threat I thought he could be. My gosh, Penn State's defense was all over the field. They had 8 tackles for loss, 5 sacks.
Yep.
But how tough was Riley Leonard to be able to come back from the concussion protocol, whatever it was? He had to go in the tent, taking that huge hit, hitting his head on the turf, to come back, make the throw he did for the touchdown. Guy was wide open, but you get him there, and they're coming after you. You're doing this against a Penn State defense that feels like it's all over you. You know, that between that and again, the interception that kills you, I know a lot of people have put that on James Franklin. I'm kind of struggling with that, whether, you know, because again, Drew's only thrown, 9 picks? He's not a guy that throws interceptions. He did throw that ball across field. You have to tell him, man, you got to be so careful here because we're in dangerous territory. So is that more on Franklin for not playing it more conservative, or is it on the quarterback for the, you know, across the field throw? Either way, you blow the game there. And something we don't usually see in college football, you know, a winning kick and a big one. Usually we see misses. You got to give credit to Jeter for coming out and nailing it. And credit to Marcus Freeman for just having his team ready to play. in a lot of areas, they were pushed around last night, and yet they still found a way to claw through and win. And, dude, Riley Leonard's a tough son of a gun. It's going to end against Ohio State, unfortunately.
It does feel like it's go Texas. We need Texas to win this game, if only to preserve our chance at a competitive national championship game.
Yeah.
At least that's what it feels like. Memphis Tigers have a game tomorrow. We'll see what happens with the weather between now and then. There are updates from the city. Everything is going smoothly, according to the city. Who knows what'll happen? Maybe this stuff will melt and then freeze, and it'll be ice and a mess. But right now, I'm sure it'll be a reduced crowd tomorrow because of the storm. Yeah. But how many conference games do you think they're going to lose?
I would think no more than three, and really that three would be a shock to me at this point. When you look at the rest of the conference, Kenbaum, this is key to me. I mean, after the North Texas game, and now that's a win. It was a four-point win, but a win. He doesn't have anybody within 8 points of you the rest of the way in terms of what the computers spit out, in terms of everybody else's metrics in the AAC and yours. That includes UAB. It includes Tulane. Now, like I told Jeffrey, I won't feel comfortable until Penny has handled what's been, thorns in his side here the last couple of years. And Andy Kennedy and Ron Hunter, no matter what those teams have been doing. And last year, it's been good for UAB, but Ron Hunter, typically has been bad here the last couple of years, but has been able to, for whatever reason, really give Penny problems. I won't feel comfortable about them just rolling this AAC until he's taking care of business against those teams too, even with as poorly ranked as they are this year. But this league is dog crap. And so if it's any more than three, I'd be shocked. And really, yes, one or two seems, you look at the rest of this league and sort of what Penny's got in terms of, health-wise, sure, they're banged up and they've got a lot of minutes logged, but Tyrese and P.J. Haggerty look like they're up for it. There's some dogs. And right now, I feel good about, to answer your question, Jeff, really good about 16-2, but maybe you could pull off a 17-1 or, by God, an 18-0, and you could certainly tell yourself, you've got one of the top seeds in the country. You don't have to worry about those days. Last 2 years, Penny's been a 9 and an 8 seed. And, you do anything like that through AAC play, and you'll be well out of that range.
Thanks, Jason. Drive safe. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
That is Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. We're going to take a break. Come back, talk to Chris Harrington about the Grizz on the other side. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.